raising the speed limit on the information superhighway. TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
It's time for the race report. Your full-speed hour of NASCAR news and talk.
You know, we didn't have much of a choice because we thought we were going to blow up.
Here are your hosts, Steve Barker.
I'm the best there is. Nobody can hang with my stuff.
And Sam Atwell.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Ready to talk NASCAR on the race report.
Two by two, two laps to go. Gordon, Newman, Kenseth.
He can do it. Cut down if he can get down in that hole right there.
Looks like Kenseth's going to shut the door. Gordon walks up the racetrack. Here comes Kenseth to the inside with Hamlin falling.
Everybody, everybody. Here comes Logano. Hamlin inside. Jeff Gordon.
Kenseth overdrove the corner. Here comes Hamlin.
It is Hamlin. Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano take the white flag. The next flag ends it.
I guess we'll be heading to victory circle.
About 5-0 to 20.
Oh, lordy, lordy. What a mess.
Two of the Gibbs cars are going to end up 1-2. Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano.
What a
Jeff
call.
Gordon, then Newman, Truex.
What a call.
Mike, Larry, and DW with the call on Fox of Denny Hamlin's second straight victory at Martinsville. Welcome to the race report. I'm Steve Parker.
And I'm Sam Atwell.
Looked like Hamlin had it won, then it looked like Jeff Gordon had it won. Then Hamlin got it back after his crew chief made what looked to be an insane call to pit and give up the lead in the closing laps, but it worked out. Let's talk some NASCAR on the race report.
Now with a look at this week's NASCAR news, here's Steve with the racing headlines.
Denny Hamlin came into Monday's rain-delayed Goodies 500 at Martinsville with two career wins at the track, including last fall, so it was no surprise to see Hamlin out front in the closing laps. Jeff Burton had been battling Denny for the lead, but cut a tire and brought out a caution with eight laps to go. So close to the end, it seemed the strategy was to hold on to track position, but Hamlin and second-place Kyle Busch decided to hit pit road, handing the lead to Jeff Gordon. Gordon drove away on the restart and was just about to take the white flag and a sure win when Kyle crashed, bringing out another caution. On the next restart, Gordon and Matt Kenseth were battling for the lead, got together, slid up the racetrack. That opened the door for Hamlin, who got by both of them, and with fresher tires, he was gone and had his second straight Martinsville victory. Joey Logano managed to get by and grab second place, followed by Gordon, Ryan Newman, and Martin Truex Jr. Jimmy Johnson finished a disappointing ninth, but coupled with a rough day for Kevin Harvick, he finished 35th. Johnson moves into a familiar position, the top of the point standings. He will take a 14-point lead over Greg Biffle into the traditional Easter weekend break. Matt Kenseth, Harvick, and Jeff Burton are the rest of the top five. The series returns to action in 2 weeks with the first night race of the season at Phoenix. And Hamlin had successful surgery to repair a torn ACL in his left knee on Wednesday. Expects to be recovered enough with the off week to be back in the car at Phoenix. Casey Mears will be on standby in case Hamlin has to get out of the car early. Those are the racing headlines on the Race Report. Coming up on this edition of the Race Report, genius call by Denny's crew chief Mike Ford, or a huge lucky break. We'll talk about about those final laps in Martinsville. Jeff Gordon not too happy with Matt Kenseth on that final restart. Did he have good reason? We'll hear from the top finishers in the Goodies Fast Relief 500. All that and lots more coming up on the Race Report.
On the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
Welcome back to the Race Report. Steve Parker here, Sam Atwell there, and you where you are. Thanks for listening to the Race Report as we take a look back at the Goodies Fast Pain Relief 500 won by Denny Hamlin, who probably should have won because he'd been out front most of the day, had the best car. Yeah, but then I don't care how it ended up. It was a bonehead call by Mike Ford.
It was ridiculous.
That ended up working out for them. But just absolutely the wrong call to come in and pit. They were counting on more people coming with them.
And, it had to be a very lonely feeling.
Very lonely feeling. Them, of course, being Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch, the only two that hit pit road, handing the lead over to Jeff Gordon, who was like 100 feet from winning the race. And caution flew. Kyle Busch crashed and brought the caution out. So a green-white checker finish. And after Gordon and Matt Kenseth played around a little bit, Denny Hamlin said, okay, if you guys are going to fight about it, I'll take the lead. and he goes on to get the win. In fact, why don't we take a look right now and let you know where your favorite driver finished in the Goodies 500.
The winner was Denny Hamlin, second Joey Logano, third Jeff Gordon, fourth Ryan Newman, fifth Martin Truex Jr., sixth Brian Vickers, seventh Clint Bowyer, eighth Carl Edwards, ninth Jimmy Johnson, tenth Greg Biffle.
Wait a minute, Jimmy Johnson finished, eight guys beat Jimmy Johnson at Martinsville?
Yeah.
What, was he racing on his roof or something? I don't see what happened there. Marcus Ambrose, 11th. Brad Keselowski, 12th. Sam Hornish Jr., 13th. Good finish for him. Paul Menard, 14th, and he hangs on to the top 12. 15th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. David Ragan was 16th. 17th, Casey Kane. 18th, Matt Kenseth, who was maybe in a position to take the lead with a lap to go, but ends up 18th. 19th, David Gilliland. Jeff Burton, who was battling Hamlin for the lead in the closing laps until he cut a tire, he ends up 20th.
Mark Martin, 21st. Kyle Busch, 22nd. Kurt Busch, 23rd. Elliott Sadler, 24th. Mike Bliss, 25th. Tony Stewart, 26th. Travis Quappel, 27th. David Rudiman, 28th. 29th, Bobby Labonte, and 30th, Jamie McMurray.
Kevin Conway, not to be confused with Tim Conway, finishes 31st. Regan Smith, 32nd. 33rd, Scott Speed. Wasn't Tim Conway driving that car, was it?
I don't think so.
Sorry, all right. Juan Pablo Montoya finishes 36th. Kevin Harvick, 35th. I didn't say that after running up front early in the race. 37th, David Stremme. 38th, A.J. Allmendinger. 39th, Joe Nemechek. Max Pappas, 40th. 41st, Eric Almirola. Dave Blaney, 42nd. Michael McDowell, 43rd. That's how they ran in the Goodies Fast Pain Relief 500. Denny Hamlin had the fast car. It was the best car.
He did.
He deserved the win. And Jeff Gordon even said, and we'll hear from him later on, that he probably ended up, meaning Gordon, probably ended up about where he should have been, third place. But he was very disappointed that when it seemed he had a chance, had a victory handed to him, he was not able to finish off what looked like he was going to get. So Hamlin ends up getting the victory. Joey Logano finishes second. What a good run for that young man.
Oh, yeah.
He continues to impress as he seemingly does best on the tracks that are the toughest.
Yes.
His first top five last year, or first top ten finish, I think, last year at Darlington. And he just continues to, again, look like he's definitely going to be somebody to be reckoned with in the very near future, if not right now.
Right now.
So, Gordon ends up third. As we mentioned, Ryan Newman fourth. Martin Truex Jr., a top five finish for him. So that's a good day for him. Carl Edwards finally gets into the top ten. And Jimmy Johnson, some struggles here and there. And he ends up with a ninth place finish at a track that you'd almost just, before the race, just hand it to him. It's like Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Who else has got a shot? But he ends up.
Well, his dominance is over now.
Yeah. What's wrong with the 48
team?
Yeah,
we need to delve into that. What's happening there?
Greg Biffle gets a top 10 finish. That's about as well as he's ever run at Martinsville. I think he was thrilled. Felt like it was a win to get a 10th place finish. Marcus Ambrose finishing 11th. So some guys that needed some good runs certainly got them. Sam Hornish Jr., who has struggled mightily, to say the least. He ends up with a 13th place finish. I'm sure he'll take that. And mention Paul Menard. Hanging tough in the top 12 right now as he gets a 14th place finish. So, each week goes by and Paul Menard hangs into that top 12. Kind of wondering, is he going to be this year's Juan Montoya and be the surprise chase participant? You still think no?
Nope. I don't think so.
You still don't think it is going to be Paul Menard. But some other guys that had, and this is becoming a little routine for some guys, Mark Martin, another disappointing day. A good day gone bad. He gets caught up in a crash late in the race again. And he ends up with a poor. Where is he? I'm sorry. I'm trying to scroll down and find exactly who you're looking for here. We don't remember where they finished. But anyway, Mark Martin.
It was in the 20s, wasn't it?
21st. He finished at 21st. Kyle Busch bringing out that final caution. He was maybe in position to get a top five, if not better than that. He ends up 22nd. Mentioned Jeff Burton, who was actually looked like he might be the one guy that could battle the 11 car for the victory, but then he cuts a tire down. He brings out that caution with eight laps to go. He tried to limp the thing in. Maybe should have just pitted for tires right away and kept from tearing it up, and maybe he'd have finished better, but they tried to limp it around the closing laps. He ends up blowing the tire completely and got into the wall and brought the caution out. So, good day gone bad for some guys that ran pretty well all day long, just not able to bring home the finishes. And, of course, that really hurts for Mark Martin. And Montoya also had trouble early in that race. He needs a good finish. He has had just the worst luck. He ends up 36th. So we've talked a lot the last couple of weeks about getting into chase position now. Yeah, there's a lot of time left, but you keep that hole.
You keep digging that hole deeper, and it's... You know, I look at Mark Martin, and he has probably me to thank for his lousy start because I picked him as my champion this year. Thanks. But you every week that you have a bad run, that hole just gets a little bit deeper and it gets a little tougher to come back.
Oh yeah, it does. You're right. Each week it goes by and a little more pressure. And you tend
and
to
now
press.
There's, I mean, we're coming to the point of the season where we have enough races that there's not going to be the wild swings in point position that we saw early on.
That hole's tougher to dig out of. Yeah.
Yeah, you got more guys to climb over to get to the
you
chase.
You get to a point where you really can't afford to have another bad race, and then you have another bad race. And that's kind of what's happening to Montoya and Mark Martin at this point right now. These are guys that I think everybody, you know, you and I especially, expect to be in the chase. We both picked Mark Martin
sure
to win
did.
The championship. He's
sure
got to be in the chase before he can do that. And, each week that goes by that they have another poor finish, it just makes it that much tougher to get themselves in chase position. And like I said, you can't win the championship if you're not in the top 12 after 26 races. So we'll see where we go from here. When we come back, we will take a look at the point standings. Again, coming up on the Easter break, so got an extra week to kind of let this all soak in, see who's where, and see who really has some work to do. And again, Mark Martin, Juan Montoya, a couple of guys especially that have quite a bit more work to do. So stick around. We'll look at the point standings when we come back on the Race Report.
If you want NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to The Race Report.
And welcome back to The Race Report. Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell talking before the break about guys who are finding themselves deeper and deeper in holes trying to get into the top 12. And even though we're only six races in, it's definitely something you want to be thinking about. 20 races to go seems like a lot at this point, but each week that goes by as you continue to struggle and continue to have bad finishes that don't significantly move you up the point standings, it's like falling in the point standings. When you don't go in, you don't go up and you lose another race to make that ground up, it's basically losing ground. I mean, it really is.
I mean, look, speaking of the point standings, I just noticed this. Greg Biffle's
there.
Six races, six top tens, but he's not the points leader.
No. Because there's this guy in there that has three wins already.
Yeah, but how can he have... I mean, but he also has like a 35th place finish and...
Well,
I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, obviously, he's only trailing Jimmy Johnson by 14 points. That is pretty impressive, though. You look at Greg Biffle and you talk about being consistent. He is the only driver who's 6-for-6.
Yes.
Six top tens in six races.
And that's consistency he hasn't seen in a long time.
And considering going in, I remember he made a comment to the media going into Martinsville that he thought he said, my career best is like a 10th, 12th place. He goes, I just hope to match that. And
yeah,
he did. A 10th place finish at Martin, and it looked like he wouldn't early on in that race. He was having trouble and found himself deep in the field. So battling back for a 10th place finish at a track where he has not done well is good for him. That's one tough thing for Matt Kenseth. Martinsville has been his Achilles heel since he's been in. Absolutely, he will tell you that is the worst track for him. Has never done well at Martinsville and was up there in a position to maybe get a win until Jeff Gordon thought, oh, no, you don't. You bumped me. I'm going to make sure you don't win. And we'll talk a lot more about that a little bit later on. But those two getting together, and they have, of course, a little history.
They do. They've been dancing partners before.
Yes, they have. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, Jimmy Johnson in a familiar position. The top of the point standings, but by only 14 points over Greg Biffle. Kenseth is there in third, 16 points back.
Doesn't matter.
Kevin Harvick falls from the lead to 61 points behind in fourth place now. Jeff Burton is up a couple of spots to the top five, but already trails Jimmy Johnson by 113 points. Kurt Busch next in sixth place. Then Jeff Gordon, who jumped four places last week with his third place finish. So even though it seems like Gordon has had kind of a rough start to the season, he is solidly in the top 12. He's in seventh place.
He's only got two top tens.
And only, yeah, two tens, two top tens, two top fives.
Which would have to be the same.
They're probably the same races. I think so. Yeah.
You think?
And, he could have had a seventh or an eighth somewhere else, I guess. Well, no.
No, no, no. If he had two top tens, two top fives.
Then he'd have four top tens, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
See, I'm not good with math. Tony Stewart has kind of been a disappointment so far. For somebody who pretty much dominated the first 26 race portion of the season last year, he's struggling a bit, although, again, solidly in the top 12. He's eighth, but did fall three places after another poor run last week. Clint Bowyer's hanging on there, ninth place, so still all three of the RCR cars are in the top nine in points. Dale Earnhardt Jr., even though he loses a couple of spots, he's in 10th. Paul Menard still hanging on, but down two places to 11th.
He's going in the right direction.
Brian Vickers jumps into the top 12. Of course, a Chase driver last year.
Yeah. Who did nothing.
Well.
Thank you, Brian.
Well,
appreciate
you know,
it.
There's a guy that does that every season.
Goodbye, Brian.
They can call it the Jeremy Mayfield Award. That the guy that gets into the top 12 and then basically says, see you later. See you next year.
Speaking of Jeremy Mayfield, we haven't heard anything about that.
And that's
while.
Good. That's a good thing.
We need to go look for some Mayfield news.
No, we
need
don't.
A Mayfield update.
We don't need a Mayfield update. Don't need to hear
Let's
him.
Let's go to the Mayfield update desk.
Yeah. You know, we got the Tiger Woods stuff and all that, the stuff cluttering, the nonsense news cluttering up the sports world. So we don't need to come more on Jeremy Mayfield and his psycho mother-in-law and things like that or whatever. But, again, you know, talked earlier about Joey Logano and his impressive run to a second-place finish at Martinsville. And he has been the victim of a couple of problems that were not his doing. The one that comes to mind immediately was the first little Carl Edwards-Brad Keselowski tussle early in the race at Atlanta that Joey Logano was completely an innocent bystander for, but it basically ruined his day there at Atlanta.
It did.
And cost him a decent finish. But he has three top tens in the first six races and has run better than that. He's been pretty solid everywhere. But to get up there and race with these guys and worked his way from, you know, the back of the pack in that race to get a top, even though, you know, luck kind of broke his way a little bit. But still, I was going to look back and see. He started 17th, so not horrible, but did have to fight his way kind of to the front there. But Joey Logano has just really been impressive and knew he would be. And I still think he may miss the chase, but he's going to be close.
He's not going to miss the chase because I picked him to be in the chase.
No.
Which pretty much guarantees he will be there.
Pretty much guarantees he won't be there. He's got no shot. Sorry, Joey. Carl Edwards is down a spot, but he's 14th. And you look at Denny Hamlin, who has yet to crack the top 12 this season. That's kind of strange. He's 15th in points, up four spots after his win. And Kyle Busch drops six places. He falls back out of the top 12. He and Joey Logano, Richard Childress, the Joe Gibbs drivers, kind of bounced in and out of the top 12, but strangely, Hamlin, who many people consider the strongest threat to unseat Jimmy Johnson as champion, has yet to crack the top 12 this season. And something we haven't talked about it a whole lot. I'm wondering how much of a factor that ACL has been. I mean, it's obviously been more than he thought it was because he was planning on postponing the knee surgery until after the season, and he's going to have it now.
Well, he's had it now.
He has had it now, but he's decided to go ahead and have it before the season ends. And he's in recovery mode now, getting ready for Phoenix, plans on being there. That's a pretty quick turnaround after ACL surgery. Apparently, the doctors told him, you know, unlike football or anything where you're moving laterally, putting a lot of stress on that area, that driving the race car is not going to make it any worse. So there's no reason that he can't get back in the car for the race in Phoenix coming up in a couple of weeks. And we'll have to see if that, you know, if he struggles with it while it's healing or if he really takes off and is running much better with the repaired knee. Because that may have been and probably
could,
was a little more of a
distraction
than he thought it was going to be. All right, stick around. When we come back, we will hear from the top finishers in Monday, almost at Sunday. Monday's Goodies 500. That's all coming up when we come back on the Race Report.
The track or off. Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
Wow, you have your headphones on.
Hey, I'm ready. I am ready, locked and loaded.
Ready to go. Well, thanks for listening to the Race Report. That's what you have stumbled upon here on your radio. And you can always check us out online 24/7, 365 at racereportradio.com.
We're there every day of the week. It's your one-stop shop for all the news you need. And what we really try to do is you can go there, you get the news, so you can look brilliant. So you can dazzle your friends with your NASCAR knowledge. Like Steve and I dazzle everybody once a week on this show.
Yeah, kind of like a wet sparkler.
Okay, maybe not quite like that. Maybe you'll be a little better than that.
We're like the sparkler that got wet, I think, as far as dazzling.
Exactly.
Yeah. 4th of July, why won't this do anything?
RaceReportRadio.com, get all your news updates, your race report update every day with Steve and my opinions and all the news and just go there. Just
your
check
opinion,
it out.
Your opinion is worth what it costs.
Yeah, it is.
It is right there. It's worth the price of admission. And wait a minute. It's free, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Still,
there you go.
They get their money's worth there.
Absolutely.
Right. Let's take a listen to the top finishers from last, I keep wanting to say Sunday, from last Monday's running of the Goodies Pass Pain Relief 500, because it got rained out on Sunday.
It did.
It rained like 15 inches at Martinsville on Sunday.
It did.
It was a monsoon.
It was scary.
Martinsville became just a lake. It was Lake Martinsville.
Scary rain.
And they couldn't run the race, so they ran it on Monday. Danny Hamlin was originally scheduled to have surgery on his knee on Monday.
So good thing he stuck around.
Yeah. And he decided...
Sorry, guys, I got a doctor's appointment. I got to go.
Yeah. He decided he'd go ahead and race instead. Then he goes out and stupidly wins the race, so he has to hang around and do the hat dance.
I wonder if he thought when he went to make that pass, man, if I win this race, I'm going to have to stay around and not going to get to go do surgery.
Apparently, his surgeon takes Tuesdays off because they were talking during the race broadcast.
Seriously?
If they got done, the race finished in time on Monday, he was going to have the surgery Monday afternoon. But if not, he had to wait till Wednesday. I don't know what kind of special thing happens on Tuesday that the surgery couldn't happen on Tuesday, but apparently his doctor has ruled no knee surgeries on Tuesday.
What in the world?
So he had the surgery, successful surgery, on Wednesday. The surgery has been done, and Danny Hamlin's going to be good to go come Phoenix. So we'll see how good he goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, have a veteran of 5 knee surgeries, it's not as easy as... you think it is.
Well, I haven't had any, and I hope I remain ignorant on the subject. So let's go ahead and listen to Danny Hamlin talking about his win on Monday.
We just did it the old-fashioned way. We passed the cars back, and it was a good day for us. I told Mike here during practice on Saturday that there was no doubts we were going to win this race, and I didn't think it was going to be this hard or that dramatic at the end, but... nonetheless, it's a good feeling.
And we will talk about what made it so dramatic at the end a lot. We haven't even gotten to the real topic.
I mean, we're halfway through the show, and it's already going to be
too much show for an hour. It is. Yeah. So Danny talking about that knee, and he says, yeah, he's glad to get it fixed, but it was kind of worth hanging around the extra day.
You know, we're going to have to deal with the cards that were dealt, just like we did at the end of this race. We're, things don't always happen just the way they plan, and, it was frustrating that we couldn't get it done, but... this is definitely a good alternative, it's just I'm looking forward to getting over with, mainly because when I know after that hour's done, every minute from there on out, we're going to start to get better and better and better, where, it just started just getting a little bit worse, it seems like, here lately. So, it bothered me a little bit probably the last 100 laps, but you're so focused on trying to win the race, it overcomes a lot of any kind of pain that you have in the car.
Yeah, I'm sure you're focused on winning the race and driving a good race and a smart race.
He would be.
He doesn't need no stinking knee ligament to drive a car. Joey Logano, his Joe Gibbs Racing teammate, ends up with a second-place finish. His Joe Gibbs teammate, Kyle Busch, looked like he was going to finish second, but then he crashed. And that helped Joey Logano get up and grab a top two finish. He said he was basically in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, towards the end of the race there, it was crazy. Like Jeff said, we knew it was going to be crazy before it went green. Denny, I think, was the outside row, one lane behind me, and knew he'd be coming real hard. And he cleared I think it was Newman, and he was forcing his way down, and I knew his car was better than me, and like Jeff said, he's going to be able to outbreak us, all that. So he drove it in there, was able to outbreak us, and that was the same lap. But I don't know what happened in front of us there, but the two cars washed up, and like I said, I was just right place, right time. I was able to, restart on the bottom. Like Jeff said, that's where you need to be, and just kept filling holes when people were washing up and hitting each other, and I was lucky enough not to get hit in the back or anything like that. Just protected bottom, and was able to come out with a good finish.
I don't think he's given himself enough credit, really. I mean, Martinsville's a tough place to drive. Yeah, you have to be in the right place, and you have to avoid trouble. But, he put himself in position, and again, the young man is pretty impressive
season. I think that's his mode of operation, though, not to take too much credit on himself. He still wants to, I think, in my personal opinion, never to be humble.
Which is worth the price of admission.
Absolutely. He is kind of trying to fly under the radar. People aren't paying attention to him. He's not drawing a lot of attention to himself. That's why he's going to be in the chase.
Yeah. He's off to a good start. And remember, I had him as kind of my drivers right on that fringe, guys that could get into the chase.
Fringe doesn't count, my friend.
Would be battling for it, but I think I'm starting each week that goes by. I'm thinking you're right.
You're regretting your decision.
I think he's going to be there. I think he's going to be there, and I would certainly like to see him there because.
And he's such. It's so cool to hear him interviewed.
Yeah,
it's just it's a good it's a neat experience to hear him interviewed.
He's a neat kid, talented kid, and I think going to be a Sprint Cup champion one day.
My daughter, my youngest daughter, wants to marry him. So I'm thinking that's a good thing.
My son's favorite driver too. Yeah, he got to talk to him at Kansas Speedway last year, and he's a big Joey Logano fan. All right, stick around. Coming back with more, including our take on Mike Ford's brilliant call.
Yeah, brilliant strategy.
The race.
Wow.
That's coming back when we return on the Race Report.
If you want NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to The Race Report.
Welcome back to The Race Report. Just a second, we're going to talk about the big call of the race, Mike Ford's call to bring Denny Hamlin to pit road when the caution came out with eight laps to go, and what a stupid, bonehead, idiotic call that won him the race, ultimately. But anyway, Jeff Gordon finishes third, and let's hear from him on that final restart. He really wasn't sure what happened there.
I'm not exactly sure what happened on the restart, that last restart. I got an okay restart, spun the tires a little bit, and got going. And, I looked up my mirror. 17 was pretty far behind me, so I made sure I didn't drive in too deep, and the next thing I know, I just got nailed. So I'm not sure who got into me. I think it was a 17, and if it wasn't, then I apologize to him because I thought it was him, and I made sure he didn't win the race down the back straight away.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. He pretty much sealed that deal, didn't he?
Nice door slam, rode him down the track, and then tapped him and ran him up the racetrack right there.
I love it. I didn't know if it was him that did it to me or not. I have no idea who it was.
He knew who it was. And Kenseth did get into him. And Kenseth and he admitted it. Kenseth said he got into him not all that hard. But, I mean, you know what? We've talked about this with Jeff Gordon before. I think sometimes he has a little sense of entitlement that he thinks that he's a four-time champion. You don't bump me. You don't touch me.
Stay away from me.
He's got like an
18-inch buffer all around his car.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that way. It's Martinsville. Kenseth saw a little opening. He tried to take it.
Listen, Gordon, what have you done for me lately? You won one race in two seasons.
Gordon's never going to win another race. Yeah, I mean, if and my son, he kind of likes Jeff. I mean, he was talking about this. We were watching the race together at the finish, and he said, the only way Jeff's going to win a race, he goes, if all the other 42 cars crash, that's the only way he's going to win.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's getting to be about that way. I mean, how many good runs has he had? We talked a couple of weeks ago when Jimmy Johnson won whatever, he's won them all, whatever race it was.
Whichever race it was.
Well, that particular weekend, whatever one
was. Was it Las Vegas?
Yeah. They were saying like of the last four or five races, Jeff Gordon had led the most laps in. Jimmy Johnson ended up winning.
Well, yeah, he led the most laps all except for the most important one.
That's my point. He even when he has a good car, good enough to lead the most laps, he's not finishing the deal.
Like I said last week, the way to beat Jimmy Johnson is to lead every single freaking lap, that's the only way to do it.
It looked like it was going to be the other way for Gordon on Monday. It looked like he was going to lead the most important lap, and this is where we'll get into the call. Mike Ford choosing and Dave Rogers, crew chief for Kyle Busch, both choosing to bring their drivers to pit road.
How's that move working out for Kyle Busch, by the way?
They were running 1-2 with eight laps to go when Jeff Burton cut that tire, hit the wall, brought out the caution flag. You figure, clean it up, run them around a few times. It's Martinsville. They're going to circle it pretty quickly, even under caution. So you're estimating maybe four laps to go when you restart, just a few. I know tires are critical, but not that critical.
You don't give
up the lead. When you're looking at a restart with about four laps to go at Martinsville,
pretty much right there, you're the table's set for you to do whatever you're going to do. You don't do that.
You've made your bed. It's time to lay
down.
When
I saw them come down pit road and the commentators were talking about, well, is everybody going to come or nobody going to come, and then the two leaders come off and
they were stunned.
Nobody else.
Yeah, they were stunned. Larry McReynolds, Darrell Waltrip were stunned that those guys pitted. And it was absolutely the wrong call. It was absolutely the wrong call. In fact, real quick, I know I have it here somewhere. Here it is. Mike Ford, Denny Hamlin's crew chief, on that late pit call.
Coming down to the end, leading the race, here at Martinsville, the last place you want to be when the caution comes out with them 10 to go as the leader, because everyone's going to take cuts at you, and you just wonder, if you have enough time to get back. So, you're thinking about that situation 30 30 laps prior, you know, and watching the weather also. But, you know, it came right at the point where it's probably the most difficult call on pit road, leading the race inside 10 to go. You know, had 65 laps on our tires. New tires were going to be fast, but you just don't know what everyone else is going to do.
The thing is, though, with so few, I can understand that with a few more laps to go, but with only, again, you're only looking at five, maybe even four. It turned out to be about four laps to go when they restarted. The new tires aren't going to make that much difference. You
no,
give up that track.
You cannot work through traffic that fast.
What he was concerned about was staying on the track and everybody behind him pitting and getting fresh tires and then eating them up.
See, still, I don't think that would have happened.
I don't think it would have either. Not with only four laps to go. I don't think it would have either. As good as that car had been all day, I don't think he'd have had any problem.
Like I say, with 10 laps to go,
it's really hard to pass at Martinsville.
Your die is cast. The table's set. I mean, you got what you got, and that you can't. And you know who knows what would have happened, but I think he won, and he would have won if they hadn't stopped.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if they stay out, I think they win no matter what. Even if Jeff Gordon and the guys behind them came in and took tires,
but they're not going to do that.
I don't think they would either,
because they don't want to give up the track position behind them.
Daryl and Larry were guesstimating probably maybe eighth, ninth on back would have pitted for tires and then try and get what they could.
But Waltrip said,
no brainer. The front guys aren't pitting, and then about that time, the front two come in.
But you know what I love about the TV commentators, because they say that and they criticize the crew chief for that, and then when he turns around and wins the race,
what a call!
Oh, brilliant!
What a call!
It was brilliant! Oh my gosh!
That was my point.
Stand up and be a man.
That was my point. They won the race. It ended up working out for them. But there was no way that was the right call to make at that time. You'll never convince me of that.
Nope.
There was no way. That was the call to make. With so few laps to go, like you said, you've got what you got right there, and you go. And it worked out for him, but don't tell me Mike Ford made a brilliant call. He made the wrong call that ended up working out by luck.
Yeah,
Jeff Gordon was 100 feet from taking the white flag in that race.
And Gordon had not gotten together.
I don't think Hamlin would have got by him without that.
No,
even with the fresher tires.
And we'd be talking about it, and it would look like a bonehead move that it was, because he gave up the win.
Absolutely. Stick around. Coming back and wrapping up the race report after this.
Almost smell the hot oil and burnt rubber through the radio. Or maybe that's just Steve and Sam. You found the race report.
The thing about a really good crew chief is he'll know exactly what to say, and you know, for each situation. So he knew Lance, you know, knew to cheer me, you know, back to my game and steer me in that direction with a little pep talk, and he did it. And that's what I needed. And, you know, maybe at times it's his job, maybe it ain't. Maybe it's my job to keep my head together. But if he sees me going off in the wrong path, he cares enough to want to fix it. And he helped me out a lot at that moment.
That is Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, referring to something we talked extensively about a week ago, the exchange caught on the radio between he and crew chief Lance McGrew, when Junior threw many expletives around, and McGrew basically told him, don't lay down on me. And Junior said,
that statement was like a walk in the desert.
Don't say that on the radio. We don't need the whole world hearing that. But we, you know, found it very interesting that McGrew would choose to use the term, don't lay down on me.
Because that's what
leads you to think that maybe in the past he has done that.
I guarantee you in the past he has. You remember a little situation where the car was not handling well and he just pulled off the track? You remember that? Because he couldn't drive it? Well, I think that's called laying down.
Well,
I don't know about you.
But anyway, Junior putting the good spin on it that Lance McGrew is kind of a cheerleader, kind of giving him a pep talk, giving him a little, you know, like we talked, maybe Junior needs the kick in the butt every now and then that Tony Urey Sr. was able to give him when he was crew chief, and Junior had the most success he's had in his Cup career. Got almost all of his wins, I think all but one, and the one season he really seriously contended for a championship, of course, was under Tony Sr. And ever since he left the pit box, Junior's done absolutely
basically
nothing. Even with the juggernaut that is Hendrick Motorsports, Junior finished 25th in points last year when his other three Hendrick teammates swept the top three positions in the final standings.
I read an article this week on NASCAR.com, and it was an extended interview with Darrell Waltrip on when his number 11 car was inducted into, or was announced it was going to be shown in the Hall of Fame. And somebody asked about his thoughts on Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Junebug?
And I am just, I'm flat out tired of Darrell Waltrip making excuses for Dale Earnhardt Jr. He talks about, oh, well, we put too much pressure on him. We put too many expectations on him. Well, Darrell, you were the one that said he was going to win six-plus races when he signed with Hendrick and everything was going to be... I'm tired of people making excuses for Junior. There's no more time for excuses.
Well, I agree with you at this point in his career that there are no more excuses. It's time, and we said, it's time for him to put up or shut up because he's with the best organization in the sport. The top three positions in the points last year were the other three Hendrick drivers that weren't him, as he finished 25th. But as far as putting maybe unrealistic expectations on him early in his career, I think maybe that was the case because of his last name. But
how many years ago was that?
Well, it was 2000, and he also maybe performed better back then than he has the last few years. I mean, remember, Junior's won, I think, 18 races. You know, and he hadn't won one for a while, so he's done some winning at some point in his career. It was early in his career when he did show flashes. He did show that maybe he was going to be the driver that the fans that just adore him want him to be, and the sport really needs him to be. He is the biggest star in the sport and always will be, and, you know, NASCAR needs him to do well. I mean,
yes,
they really do. They need him to do well. Right now, they need anybody to do well besides Jimmy Johnson. You know, that's the discussion we've had often. But, I mean, NASCAR needs Dale Earnhardt Jr. to be successful. Maybe this year, I still think he will make the chase. He hasn't shown me quite what I was hoping to see out of him yet. He's just been okay so far. Not horrible.
Ain't gonna cut it.
But not good. We'll see if maybe Lance McGrew is the right guy and does have the right attitude and the right demeanor to give him that kick when he needs it. I mean,
well, if they decide Lance McGrew's not, then... Like I said all along,
Tony Urey Sr.
Who's the only constant in that situation? That's the driver.
I know, but you know, we talked a lot about that. That ain't changing anytime soon, so we shall see. Well, we won't see anything next week on the racetrack or this week because they are off.
And I was going to pick the winner, too.
But we'll have plenty to talk about when we return a week from now with you right here on the Race Report.
Good job, guys! Woo! All you guys done a heck of a job.